Going early this week.
Yes, because you're off, aren't you, tomorrow?
I'm off to Vietnam again.
Oh, right.
Well, I got all these frequent flyer points from the last time I was there.
And you're going to work from over there, aren't you?
That's exactly why I'm going. Just not to actually do anything about Vietnam. I might write a piece for Mild Rover.
Okay, that would be good.
Because a lot of people read my piece last week about how to decode
TripAdvisor
and things like that.
Fantastic.
So I might dash something off.
So basically you're going there to finish your novel though, aren't you?
I am.
And you're going to get away from me because I've got to finish my novel as well and we're just terrible together.
I'm going away to get me away from you.
And I'm glad so I can be on my own and get my novel written so we won't distract each other all the time.
Yeah, by sending, coming through and saying, I've now written 62,000 words. Ha ha.
I wish.
So today we're going to talk about, there's an interesting new report come out, which has come from quite an interesting source. It's from a quantity surveying company. So they're not actually pushing a product. It's just that they're very aware of what's happening in the market. The managing director, Mike Mortlock, is also a member of the Property Industry Professionals.
Property Investment Professionals of Australia, PIPA.
Right.
He's on the board of directors.
Yeah, so he's got an overview. But they brought out this report, which has got one of the least sexy names of any report that I've ever seen, which is...
Rising tide of unit rents closes gaps with houses in major capital.
Yeah, that's
what
a zinger.
What would your title be then?
Rising rents closes gap on houses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be much...
Well, it's just easier to remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, to be fair, it does what it says on the tin and has quite a comprehensive report. So we'll be talking about that. And we're going to talk about something that's come up on the Flat Chat forum recently, which is about appointing compulsory managers. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
And I'm Sue Williams. I write about property for the Sydney Morning Herald, the Melbourne Age, the AFR and Domain.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap. So, this report, give me its name again.
Rising tide of unit rents closes gap with houses in major capitals.
Right.
So basically, rents of apartments are rising faster than rents on houses in the capital cities, particularly Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane.
Yes. And so, well, let's look at how much they are rising and then have a chat about why that might be the case. I mean, I've got the figures here that, I mean, these are comparing February 2023 with February 2024, right? So that's the last year, basically. In Sydney, average rents for houses have gone up from 650 to 700. The average rent for flats has gone up from 540 to 650.
Wow, that's a big difference, isn't it? So well, $110 a week
for flats, they've gone up.
$50 a week for houses.
In Melbourne, and this is Greater Melbourne City, houses have gone up from 460 to 530. Flats have gone up from 430 to 520. There's only a $10 gap there.
But of course, because it's from a lower base, the units are cheaper than the houses.
Yeah.
It's a bigger percentage.
Oh, much bigger. Mm. Much, much bigger. And in Brisbane, houses have gone up from 530 to 580, and apartments have gone up from 470 to 550. So that gap is really crunching down. It's quite interesting looking at some of the individual suburbs and the difference in rents there. In Turramurra in Sydney.
Yeah, up the North Shore of Sydney.
Yeah, up the North Shore. The change of the gap has gone down $130 a week.
Wow.
So you've gone from the gap was 530 a week, it's now $400 a week. But that's a posh area, Turramurra.
Yeah, big blocks, big.
And Rockdale, the gap has halved from $200 to $100. And there's a whole chart of places. It's quite remarkable.
So why do they reckon this is happening?
What they're saying is that they reckon that it's a lifestyle choice, that people are becoming more used to the idea of living in apartments as a positive choice. I wonder if it's just a case of more apartments are being built than there are houses. But then you would think that that would actually keep the rents down.
Yeah, it would increase the gap between the two.
Mm.
Otherwise, but yeah, look, maybe this is we're hitting the tilt point really.
Yeah,
and that people now are really actively seeking out apartments, and so rents are going up as a response to the higher demand.
Yeah,
because also when you say there is a supply of new apartments, of course there is, but it's not terribly much. I mean, the development applications for development approvals for new apartments seems to be going down every year. So there aren't enough around to satisfy all the demand. So I think people are kind of, you're quite right, people are getting used to the idea of living in apartments, and it is a choice. And also, people really want to live in the middle of cities. Mm. You know, they want to live just in the suburbs, just around the capital cities. They want the convenience. They don't want an American lifestyle where you have to drive everywhere. You drive to the shops, you drive to a cafe, you drive to work, or you travel long distances to work.
Yeah.
They just kind of want to live in the center. Time is really valuable to us all. And I think people are willing to make a compromise to save an awful lot of time.
I also think that there's an element of, you know, the post-COVID surge in overseas immigrants coming, you know, especially from Southeast Asia, people coming to work here and study here. And these are people who are used to living in apartments.
Yeah. And
like
it's
they don't know,
they,
yeah, and they would look around and go, well, there's a house that I have to, you know, that there'd be a certain amount as a tenant. There's only so much you can do, but there'd be a certain amount of maintenance around the house, or just keeping it tidy and the feeling insecure, because one of the biggest things that when we've done surveys about what people like most about living in apartments, it's convenience and security.
We're not talking about security of tenure. We're talking about
definitely not
security from outside.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a house in a suburb and you're not familiar with the suburb and you're not familiar with the neighbours, and you know you are from a different country, you might feel a wee bit vulnerable.
Mm.
Where if you're on the 10th floor of an apartment block and you know the only people who have access to you are your floor are your immediate neighbours, then that security is quite a big issue, I would think.
That's right. I mean, we've seen the preference changing for baby boomers, for downsizers.
Yeah.
Lots of people who are retiring now are buying apartments to retire into. And, you know, 20 years ago, they would never dream of that. They'd always go for smaller houses.
Yeah.
But now they're actively seeking out apartments, and especially apartments that have great facilities like pool or a concierge or a gym.
Mm.
They're really looking for the added convenience of those as well. So I think that's probably filtering down through the whole system.
Yeah, I also think that, I mean, a lot of this is these prices are set by the landlords, like the owners of the property. And I think a lot of property owners are getting into apartments because, again, if you own a house and you're renting it out, you are responsible for so many aspects of the maintenance of that house. And, you know, buildings get old, things break, things wear out. You got to fix the tiles on the roof and things like that. Whereas if you're investing in an apartment, yes, there is a certain amount of money that has to be paid for maintenance.
And strata levies, yeah.
But you know what that is at the beginning of every financial year or every AGM, you know that you're going to be budgeted for a certain amount of money and you can pretty much forget it after that.
Yeah, that's very true. And with rents going up so much, it means that your investment in apartments, you're going to get a good return from them.
Yeah, yeah.
And capital values are going up.
Yeah.
You know, people are saying this year they're expecting house and unit prices to go up by about 10% in the main cities like Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane.
Yeah.
And in other cities and in other regional areas, they might be going up by less, but they'll still be going up. I mean, 10% in a year is pretty strong. You know, that's way above the average rise. I mean, it's not compared to COVID, but that was exceptional. But 10% is, you know, really a strong rise.
Yeah.
So it's kind of getting tougher for, you know, owner-occupiers and investors, really. But for investors, apartments are a bit cheaper to buy. Their capital value is going up, and now they're getting a much better return, a much better yield.
Yeah.
So it could be that this is the big tilt point, I think, for apartments. And I think, you know, it is really important for people to live close to all facilities. I was talking to a woman at the gym the other night. And for me, my gym is about a 5 or 4 minute walk away and run there in 2 minutes, which I discovered last night when I was late for my class. I was talking to this woman. She travels for 2 hours to get to the gym because she really, I mean, the gym is a good gym.
Well she presumably has another really gym trainers. In between.
There are other gyms near her. But she really loves going to this gym because it's in the city centre, right. So it attracts the best kind of trainers for the classes.
Yeah.
So she's willing to travel 2 hours there and 2 hours back just to go to that gym.
Wow.
Because I think obviously her gym, she doesn't feel are as good as that one.
Yeah. No, fair enough. One of the things I was going to say about these comparisons, this is average rents. So what you're not comparing like for like. You know, the average apartment is going to be smaller than the average house.
Mm.
It might have the same number of bedrooms, but it's going to be the spaces, there's going to be less space. So that makes it even more remarkable that the rents for apartments are catching up.
Mm.
And in some areas, they've actually overtaken the rents for houses. I guess it's because it's all supply and demand, you know. But I think if developers start building quality apartment blocks, then people will flock to them because they got so much going for them.
Sure. And so much of the housing stock now is getting quite old.
Yeah.
It's quite run down. You know, it's badly planned. It's the interiors aren't very well planned, you know. So you kind of walk in and you've got the lounge room immediately, whereas, you know, with apartments, you've got kind of breathing space before you actually get into the lounge and things. That's really important, I think. So if you've got a newer apartment over an old house, some people would always go for apartment.
Mm.
And in the past, we've had people who are really keen renovators and they're very willing to buy old houses and do them up. But at the moment, the construction costs, the materials are so high and skilled labour is in such short supply.
Yeah.
It's actually a real deterrent to anybody wanting to renovate.
Absolutely. And I, you know, the government is talking about building apartments closer to railway stations and things like that. I was in Bondi Junction the other day. I was walking around an area that I wasn't familiar with. So I just followed the signs back to the station and suddenly I'm in a Meriton apartment block and I thought I'd gone in the wrong door. And then I realized the apartment block is built above the station. You live in that apartment block. You come down in the morning. There's a cafe there, half a dozen cafes. You can pick up your morning coffee straight down the escalator onto the train and off to work. I mean, life could not be more convenient, basically, for the people living in that block or nearby blocks.
Mm.
And I suddenly got it, you know, in a way that I hadn't, that this is all integrated now. It's all part of the same thing.
Mm, yep, it's fabulous having that choice, isn't it? I mean, there will be some people who would regard that with horror, I'm sure. But, I mean, many, many people would think, wow, the convenience is just...
Yeah.
It leaves me so much time to actually get on my life.
Yeah, the time spent travelling to and from work is generally wasted time for a lot of people. They just want to get into their office, start working, come home.
Go to the gym,
run to the gym, and enjoy what time they have in the places that they are. Okay, there's all sorts of theories about why this might be the case, but obviously the basic one is supply and demand, and the demand for apartments is going up, and I think that's why they're starting to catch up with house prices. Not that they're going down, they're just not going up as quickly.
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to talk about getting the appointment of a compulsory manager and is it a good or a bad thing? That's after this. And we often advise people on the Flat Chat forum. They say, you know, my strata manager doesn't do anything. My strata manager is in cahoots with the committee and the committee doesn't want to do anything. Usually the committee doesn't want to spend any money. The strata manager wants to keep their job with the committee. And so they will help the committee to do whatever it is they want to do or not do whatever it is they don't want to do. And it gets a bit cozy, very hard to break through, you know, especially if the strata manager is holding on to the strata role and they won't give out email addresses. So you can't contact the other owners and say, do you know what's going on in this building? So we often suggest to people they should apply to the tribunal for the appointment of a compulsory strata manager. And we've always warned people that this is one of these be careful what you wish for moments because that strata manager can come in and usually does come in and takes over all the duties of the committee. The committee doesn't function anymore. They can have meetings. They can't make any decisions. And it's usually for about 2 years. Mm. They're there making all the decisions for the strata scheme.
And people don't realise that they just won't have a voice in that either. I think they kind of think a new strata manager will come in, will really listen to residents, hear what they want for their building, take advice, and then just do as they're told. But in fact, that doesn't happen at all.
No.
The strata manager runs the whole building and can kind of do whatever they want with it, really.
We've had one case where a reader in Melbourne, in an older building, an older apartment block, where there was a rusted-on committee who didn't want to spend any money on anything, and the building was gradually deteriorating. And there was a suspicion that they wanted it to run down so much that they could sell it off to a developer.
Right.
Although that would have been difficult because it was a heritage building. It just had a lot going on with it. So this reader went off to the tribunal in Victoria and had an administrator appointed. Now they are saying that they get these crippling levies have been introduced.
Ah, well, and that's presumably to...
to make up for all the stuff that hadn't been done over the years. And that's a very clear-cut case of being careful what you wish for. However, there's a story recently about a strata scheme that went to tribunal, said we need to replace our strata manager, but we just want to replace him with somebody who does just what strata managers are supposed to do. The committee can keep functioning. And this is something that's always been in the law. It says in the Act that the tribunal can appoint somebody to take over all or part of the duties of the strata committee. And that part of thing has never been implemented before, as far as I can see. But I wonder if that's a trend going forward.
Well, that's a really valuable...
It's an option, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And because then people can still have some kind of democracy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've got somebody overseeing them who maybe isn't going to take sides.
Yeah. I mean, you go into these things asking for somebody to be appointed to make things better, not to make things worse. And a lot of the attitude in the past has been, if you go in and with a compelling argument to replace the strata manager, the tribunal in New South Wales has tended to go, okay, we will replace your strata manager with a compulsory strata manager who has all authority over the whole scheme. And it's like the lesser of two evils. Now it seems like you can go in and say, we just want them to behave like a proper strata manager because the other person has been so bad at what they're doing. We just want them replaced. And that seems like a reasonable option. But I wonder, I doubt very much whether most of the members at NCAT, the tribunal, are aware that that's an option they can take.
That would be a shame if they weren't.
Because there's not a lot of communication. You know, one of the problems is you've got Fair Trading, who cop a lot of abuse and criticism, not least from us, that can only advise on these things. And then you've got the tribunal, which comes under a completely different department, comes under the Attorney General's department, and a lot of them are retired solicitors and people like that. And some of them are very good. Some of them just don't understand strata to begin with, and they just want to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, we stop this and we're moving on to something else. And that's where the problem arises. But I have not seen anything come out of the Attorney General's office that has said, we now have a policy of examining how much control to give up to the appointed manager. And I think that's a huge gap.
Yeah, no. So that's a fabulous thing. And if more people are more aware of it, and maybe when they go to NCAT, they could actually suggest that if the person at NCAT isn't aware.
Yeah, they can. And if they've got a smart enough strata lawyer to go in with. But this is the other thing. You know, the NCAT was supposed to be set up to be lawyer-free.
Mm.
And that lasted for about 5 minutes until the members discovered that they were spending most of their time explaining strata law to the various litigants who were turning up without lawyers. But so now we're getting back to the situation where you go in and the other side says they want to have a lawyer, and then you're faced with the choice of, well, do we lawyer up as well and hope that our lawyer is better than theirs? So no progress has been made in that regard.
Mm.
They need to have a look at it, and they need to integrate it more closely with fair trading.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out on the forum the other day that we were promised that fair trading would be able to go to look at a case and then go to tribunal and say, you need to appoint a statutory manager here.
Yeah.
But that didn't come in the last tranche of changes. And apparently they're still looking at exactly how that will work. So hopefully it will work with a bit of communication between fair trading and the tribunal. And while we're on the subject of the forum, I've just got to point out there is now at the top of the page a big red button. Well, it's not that big and it's not that red, but it's one of the readers wrote to me last week and said, I don't want to have to scroll through all the other stuff on the website to get to the stuff that he liked, which was the forum stuff. That's what he enjoys. Obviously, there's a certain amount of schadenfreude about reading about other people's problems. He said, could you put a big red button at the top of the page? And I went, well, no, I'm not a computer programmer. I'm not a website designer. I'll see what I could do. And then I found out that I could put a thing on the menu at the top,
yeah,
but not in red. So I thought, that's a start. And then I thought, well, could I make it red? So I just Googled it and I got the instructions on how to make this button red. So there is now a red, orangey red button at the top of the page that will take you straight to the forum.
Fantastic. So, I bet that reader's very pleased. And thank you for that reader for helping
be.
Us.
I've sent him my address for delivery of bottles of wine, but I'm not expecting too much in that regard. And finally, before we go, I'm about to lock up and leave this little office that we're sitting in at the moment and head off to Vietnam. We now call it Great Escapes. I don't know who the escape's for, Sue. Is it me or is it for you or is it for both of us? But I'm trying to do a lot more original material. We're not just offering deals, but we're offering a lot of deals. People seem to like local travel hotels, quirky boutique-y places, or cheaper places that offer you unlimited drinks all day. So we've got all that. So we've got all that on the website. But this week, I think I'm going to do a thing about the worst flights I've ever had. And I'm thinking of our honeymoon.
That was shocking. It's amazing our relationship survived, really.
It was a real test, wasn't it? So I might jot down a few words about that, maybe when I'm on the plane to Vietnam. So look out for that. We're calling it Great Escapes. It will be on the front page of the Flat Chat website, and that will lead you to the story in Mild Rover, our travel website. Thank you, Sue.
Pleasure, Jimmy.
Next time I talk to you, I will be in Saigon.
And we both have loads and loads of words
we'll
written.
We'll have lots of words written. Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.